Good evening. Blessed be the name of the Lord. I might say, because perhaps it's in the bulletin, although I don't have a copy of it, that I gave a certain passage to Pastor England and Title to identify my message this evening. And the promise of God, it turns out that I preached on this over 2 years ago, and I'm not sure if I preached it here. So I'm putting that away, and instead I'm preaching on another passage in the book of Romans. That was Romans 10. This evening will be from Romans chapter 3. So if you would turn there with me to Romans chapter 3. I would like to read from verses 10 through to verse 26. Hear the word of God. As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none that understandeth. There is none that seeketh after God. They are all gone out of the way. They are together become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. Their throat is an open sepulchre. With their tongues they have used deceit. The poison of asps is under their lips, whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. Destruction and misery are in their ways. In the way of peace have they not known. There is no fear of God before their eyes. Now we know that what things soever the law saith, it saith to them who are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped, and all the world may become guilty before God. Therefore by the deeds of the law there shall no flesh be justified in his sight. For by the law is the knowledge of sin. But now the righteousness of God without the law is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ, unto all and upon all them that believe. For there is no difference. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, being justified freely by his grace, through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God has set forth to be a propitiation through faith in his blood, to declare his righteousness for the remission of sins that are past, through the forbearance of God, to declare, I say, at this time his righteousness, that he might be just and the justifier of him which believeth in Jesus. That's very obvious that we will at best give a summary study of this passage. There's so much in it. There's so much packed into these several verses that I've just read. And so I'm not even going to make an attempt to give an exposition of this passage at any length, except to focus on this as an example of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And I've entitled this, Just and Justifier. That comes from verse 26, where it speaks of God being just and also the justifier of him which believe in his Son Jesus Christ. Now this is the gospel. We say it's the gospel of the sovereign grace of God, or the Reformed faith gospel. To set it apart from the evangelical, run-of-the-mill Armenian free will gospel that is being propagated throughout the institutional visible church. But this is the gospel of God. Do you fear offending God? Do you fear sin? Not hell. Sin. I say you should fear sin just as you fear God, but you fear offending God. And really, that is a most important question that we need to pose to those to whom we would give God's word. There are three reasons that God has set forth Jesus, according to our passage. It says in verse 25, whom God has set forth. Whom God has set forth. He has set him forth even as in the preaching of the word, we seek to declare Christ in all of his righteousness. There are three reasons. And the first is to show how holy God is. How holy God is. Holiness is to be without sin, to be perfect. The Bible says God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. He is without darkness or without sin. It's the opposite of us, who are fallen, darkened, sinful creatures. God is the very opposite. His law, as it's summarized in the Ten Commandments and in the Great Commandment, to love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and soul and mind, and to love thy neighbors thyself, give us, in writing, in the Word of God, some idea of how holy God is. He is righteous, meaning that in his works, he does what is right. And so, God is holy. According to verse 19, it says that now we know that what things soever the law saith, it saith to them who are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped and all the world may become guilty before God. And why? Because of the holiness of God. God is just to condemn us as guilty before him. And in verse 20, therefore by the deeds of the law there shall no flesh be justified in his sight, for by the law is the knowledge of sin. This is what I said earlier. How that by the law we see ourselves, first of all we see God in his holiness, and we see ourselves as sinners when measured by his law. We show how God is holy in himself, but also how God is holy in Christ. When it speaks, for example, in verse 25, of how God had set forth Jesus to be the propitiation through faith in his blood, and I'll get back to that as to what that means, to declare his righteousness for the remission of sins that are past through the forbearance of God, to declare, I say at this time, his righteousness, that he might be just and the justifier of him which believeth in Jesus. What he is in effect saying is that he sets forth his son Jesus to show how in fact holy he is and how righteous he is by the righteousness and holiness of his son, Jesus Christ. And so this is the first truth that I would establish, which is essential in gospel preaching, because without are showing how holy God is, we have no basis to point men to Christ. Because there is no reason for men to need Christ if God isn't holy and if God has not condemned sin. Secondly, God set forth his Son Jesus Christ to pacify the wrath of an offended God. Now we're talking about something that you rarely hear in gospel preaching, in churches, over the media, in conferences, or wherever else professing Christians go to hear the word. In Romans 1:18, what does it say? We turn back to Romans 1:18. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. The wrath of God. Wrath is another word for his anger. His holy anger, I might add. He has revealed that from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men. When he sent us his word, such as through his prophet Moses, such as to his apostles to us, of our Lord Jesus Christ, he revealed his wrath when he sent his word. His wrath against sin. He also reveals how men hate his word. How men hate the truth. When it says who hold the truth in unrighteousness. It means they suppress it. Just like you would try to push a big buoy underwater, and the buoy keeps popping up. You know, if their minds did not fight against the truth, would they be fighting the truth? Of course not. Those who are self-proclaimed atheists, and there are not too many of them, but those who claim to be atheists, by their contesting God's truth, by their vehemence against God's law, their hatred of the things of God and of God, show that in fact they are made in the image of God. Because why would they even trouble themselves? Why would they even think it to be something that they would have to contest? Why not just walk away? And that is, of course, because God is not going to let anyone go, neither the atheist. David says, "If thou, Lord, shouldst mark iniquity, who can stand?" Who can stand in the day of judgment, when we will all stand before the Lord, when all the nations will be gathered before the judgment seat of Christ, before Christ seated on the throne, as illustrated in, for example, Matthew 25. And He will separate the nations to His right hand and to His left, the goats to His left and the sheep to His right. Who in that day will escape His judgment? If thou, Lord, shouldst mark iniquity, who can stand? No one, no one, none of us can stand. None of us can be saved. Who knows the power of thine anger? One of the prophets says. Do you know why there is a hell? Why is there hell? Because of the wrath of God against sin. God is punishing sin. Why does God punish sin? Because God is holy and cannot tolerate sin in the least. And by the way, cannot tolerate sinners of themselves in the least, and must punish the sinner in hell. He hates all workers of iniquity, it says in the Psalms. He hates all workers of iniquity or workers of sin. There will be those who will even profess the name of Christ and say, "Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name or taught in thy name?" Maybe perhaps they were ministers of the gospel. "And cast out devils in the name of Christ, and did many wonderful works in the name of Jesus." And the Lord will say to them in that day, and these are the words of our Lord, you can look them up afterwards, "Depart from me, I never knew you." Why? Why would God send them away? They're doing good things. They're preaching the gospel. They're starting churches. They're gathering lots of people to hear the word of God. You know why? Well, let's look it up. I don't want you to be depending upon my word. Maybe I twisted it and you didn't know that I twisted it. Maybe we need to all look at the Word of God and see it for ourselves in Matthew chapter 7. Let's understand why it is that God will send them away. According to Matthew 7, verses 21 through 23. This is very important because this hits home, doesn't it? This hits the very pews that we sit in, doesn't it? "Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven." If you say, "Lord, Lord," that does not assure your salvation. You could say all the right words. You could praise God and be just as joyful as the true saint of God, and yet be a child of the devil. "Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father, which is in heaven." There you go. At least we're getting closer now to the distinction that the Lord makes between those who are of Him and those who are not of Him. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works. And then I will profess unto them, I never knew you. There it is. I never knew you. You were never mine. I never truly loved you, and neither you me. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. That's in the present. You who are in the practice of sin. When we are in the practice of sin, when we are in the trade of sin, when we have not put away that old lifestyle of the old man and take up the ways of the old man, opposite of what the Apostle Paul, for example, says in the New Testament, when he says to put off the new man and to put on the new man, which is created in righteousness and true holiness. You are evidencing that you are not one of his. And he will say to you, depart from me, ye that work iniquity, because you do not know me, nor I you. God set forth Jesus to pacify the wrath of an offended God. That verse in Psalm 130 goes on. If thou, Lord, shouldst mark iniquity, who can stand? But there is forgiveness with thee, that thou mayest be feared. There is forgiveness with the Lord. There is not forgiveness with us. There is not forgiveness in our doing good to as many people as possible in order that we might be led into God's kingdom. You know, when we give the gospel, we ask people, are you good enough to get into the kingdom of God? Are you good enough to go to heaven? That's a good question to ask people if you're giving the gospel, because that immediately causes them to focus on the real issue of the relationship to God. And immediately you will know where they stand, won't you? Because they will either say, well, I think so, or I think I've done enough good works to offset my bad works, which is what some, such as in world religions, would believe and would have you believe. But the true child of God will be one who will say, I trust not in myself. I trust in another who is my substitute for righteousness, because I have no righteousness. Because there is none righteous, no, not one. And I lay my deadly doings down, because my works become like deadly doings when I take them up to my bosom and when I claim them as my basis for acceptance with the Holy God. God will cast me out, and those works of mine that I am relying upon for acceptance with God will become weapons of destruction to my soul. They will become like a bomb strapped to my body, ready to explode. As we know, terrorists to do, suicide bombers. No, the true child of God will decry anything of self, anything of himself, and anything of his works. Because the Bible says, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, and not of works, lest any man should boast. There, it sets apart the two ways. There is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. That's the one way. The other way is Christ, and Christ alone, to pacify the wrath of an offended God. Because it goes on to say in our passage, in Romans chapter 3, verse 25, whom God has set forth to be a propitiation through faith in His blood. What is a propitiation? It is a sacrifice that propitiates or that appeases the wrath of an offended God. God sent forth His Son Jesus to appease His own wrath. When Jesus was hanging on the cross and suffering and dying in body and in soul, He cried out, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Because he was being forsaken as the damned in hell are forsaken eternally in that brief period of time.